What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Monday. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Ravens back in practice today. Commanders coming up this weekend. Preseason finale. Baltimore blows out Dallas on Saturday night in Arlington. 31-13. Getting it done in a big way. Cooper Rush, 20 of 30, 198 yards. Did throw the touchdown to Kirkwood. But threw two picks. One was a deflected pass off Ali, and the other was, you say Wester may have had big culpable in that pick
six. Yeah, Wester ran a bad route. I didn't think he created any sense. He didn't help the quarterback out at all on that one. So I think, yeah, Wester struggled mightily in the receiving game.
Now for DeVonta's Walker, he had a quiet game one because the quarterbacks were bad. But 6 for 61, 17 yards, 8 targets. 17 yards was the long. And here's DeVonta's Walker, second year out of North Carolina, talking about the relationship with Cooper Rush so far.
Yeah, it's been real good. You know, him, you know, putting his trust in me and stuff like that every day. And we just building our rapport every day, and it just showed when we got out there. So the chemistry is built. It's been building throughout this whole camp.
I think, yeah, the thing is when they're at practice, you know, with receivers, they go with every quarterback. You know, it's not like the only receivers that go with Lamar is Bate and Zay and Hot. No, they rotate, or, you know, whatever quarterback's up, that's who they catch balls from. So, yeah. So, Tez, to me, has good rapport with all the quarterbacks. And he's getting better. He's getting better. Was he perfect in this one? Thought it was just, I thought his route running was just okay. Wasn't as good as it's going to be. Let's just say that. It's better than what it used to be. But so he's making good progress. He caught 6 balls in a NFL game. That's great. That's great. And it's a confidence builder for him.
And he doesn't need to be a star, a contributor for sure.
Yep.
Could be part of his 2025 reality. But, you know, we go back to last year's draft, and he missed most of his last season at North Carolina. Maybe this is a guy that just continues to ascend and maybe becomes one of those always fun steals that we talk about in a couple of years.
The next step for him is being an excellent route runner. The day that I was out there and I talked to Tez, you know, and that's what talked about, he said that, you know, he studies Bateman, and Bateman's a great route runner. And I told him, I said, just watch Bate, man. Watch Bate run those routes every day, because he gets his pads out over his toes and bends his knees. Like, I thought a couple of Tez's routes, he got too high at the tail end. If it's a good corner, maybe the corner breaks it up, you know. But he did a nice job there, but he still got room for improvement. He can get much better still running the routes.
Here's Tez Walker talking about getting help from the entirety of this year's team.
They've helped me out a lot. They never hesitate when I got a question or something like that. Or when I see them do something out there, I try to go do the same thing they do and stuff like that. And then, like, D-Hop, since he's been here, he just told me, you know, just go out there and play. You know, he's a guy who's done it for 13 years, stuff like that. So he just said, like, limited thinking, just go out there and play. And then Bait, same way, he just, you know, just go out there, do all you can, you know. Coaches, they gonna coach you up like that, but at the end of the day, you gotta go out there and do it. So those some little things they told me and helped me out with.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with those guys is for Tez, watching them at practice, watching them in the drills, how they do the drills and how they study and how they train. You know, that's what you wanna learn from. You wanna learn from guys like that. You know, like when I was saying San Fran, everybody wanted to learn from Jerry Rice. How does Jerry do it? You know, how does he run his routes? How does he practice? How does he train? You know, how do, because everybody comes in and wants to be great. How do I be great? What am I, you know, if I'm a running back, I'm going to look at, I want to see what Henry's doing. You know, I mean, in the pregame, they showed him doing the hills and doing all those kind of things. That's what it takes to be great.
It's 58 Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. Getting back to the bad news from Saturday. D's Isaac dislocated elbow, but John Harbaugh said he's going to miss at least a few weeks. So David Ajabo, I guess, opens the door for him to go from a bubble guy to a probable lock for the opening day roster. And here's John Harbaugh talking about the Michigan product.
He played really well tonight. Very physical. He had a really good night from what I saw. I want to see some more, but I thought he played well.
He didn't do much in the pass rush. And to me, that's, you know, what David is there for. You know, he doesn't, his win rate is not great. That's my thing. It's almost like watching him rush is that he thinks too much, you know, and then he ends up doing nothing. He ends up getting no pressure on the quarterback. Whereas you watch Mike Green on the other side, Mike Green's always working. You watch people's feet never stop. He stops and looks. And I want him to do well. I loved him at Michigan. But he just got to be more productive. He doesn't make plays.
No quarterback hits for David Ajabo on Saturday.
He wasn't close to the quarterback.
As the Ravens had 7 of them overall. We'll get into that when we get later on in this hour. But when we come back, how about we talk some college football? Yes! Kickoff is this Saturday in Dublin. 2 ranked teams getting it on. Iowa State, Kansas State. Bill Bender, Sporting News. Preview that game and the bigger picture stuff, like who are the real national championship contenders. And, you know, since we're the flagship home of the Terps, can Maryland exceed, which seem to be pretty low early season expectations right now?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This Saturday, 2 ranked teams, Iowa State, K-State over in Dublin, Ireland. Maryland opens their season against Florida Atlantic coming up here on August the 30th. Here to talk about all of that and more, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program from the Sporting News, Bill Bender. Bill, good afternoon. How you feeling?
I'm doing great. Hey, once upon a time, I sat next to Jason Cole at that Bengals-Steelers playoff game. You know, remember the one, the wild one where the Bengals blew the lead late. I wonder if he remembers that. That's something you can ask him. I'm 95% sure I did sit next to him.
Was that the game where there were all sorts of, like, blatant hits coming in late into the festivities there, the Dalton era?
Yeah, it was. And, a lot of my friends are Bengals fans. One of them in particular called me that night on the way home, driving home, about an hour and a half, and it was just 90 minutes of I can't believe what happened. So, that's one of those games in all these years I've done NFL and college for us. You definitely remember those ones.
All right, Bill, before we get to the national game coming up this Saturday in Dublin, 2 ranked teams there, and then the bigger picture scenarios throughout the landscape. Maryland picked 16th in the preseason in the Big Ten. There are 18 of those clubs coming off a disastrous season last year, only 1-8 in the conference. Malik Washington, a lot of hopes for him, freshman quarterback, but he's been banged up at practice, might not even be ready to roll in the opener here. But expectations for Maryland appear to be low. Are those expectations justified? Because old Coach Loxley keeps things real close to the vest when trying to get some intel on his ball club here.
He does, but I've always enjoyed talking to him because he's real. He's fun to talk to and, you know, keeps it real all the time. The problem with Maryland is it's a little bit of this. Like, you get out of the East Division. Remember, you're playing Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State every year. But now you're in an 18-team conference with imbalanced schedules, and that makes the job a little bit tougher, you know. So, yeah, expectations are probably lower than normal. But I think, you know, if you can claw and try to shoot for that second tier of the Big Ten, that's, you know, the first tier is going to be hard to get into. But that second tier, I mean, to me – anything Illinois through Minnesota, that's pretty wide open.
And we think that it's capable of reachable because there's a lot of talent, as you know, in the DMV area, Bill, including Baltimore. So we'll see if Loxie can keep the hometown studs. I mean, Ely's coming in next year is one of the top three or four, five players in the overall class. But we look at Saturday's game in Dublin. It's Iowa State, it's K-State. And, you know, two teams. Iowa State was outstanding last year. K-State's had, you know, big years where they were nationally ranked. How do we view these two teams? Ranked early, but again, as you know, when rankings are out in August, you know, really don't know what you're looking at just yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's early. And this is a fun game because the unpredictability factor of going to Dublin. You know, you don't know how teams respond to that. It's not a home game for either. The last Iowa State's won three of the last four, but the last two have been one-score games. And last year, the difference was literally two turnovers by Kansas State. So experienced quarterbacks, experienced running games, they'll feel each other out that way, I think, early, try to run at each other, and then whoever hits a couple passes. But I anticipate a very entertaining one-score, probably, I don't know if down to the last drive, if you can call that, but it will be a four-quarter game.
Now, Bill, when you look at a game that I'm looking forward to is Notre Dame-Miami. Now, Notre Dame going to have a new quarterback. What do you think about the Irish?
Who that quarterback is yet. You know, Minchie sounds like he's really made a push on C.J. Carr. And, yep. You know, you're going down to Miami. They haven't played a lot, but I looked this up last week. They haven't won in Miami since the 70s. You know, and granted, they
we got killed when we went down there.
Yeah, so, I mean, 2017 I was down there, and it was Miami got after it quick, and they have an experienced quarterback and a good offensive line. I think it all adds up to a super tight opener on Sunday night. That might end up, of the top three, of those three top ten showdowns, peg that one as the most likely to, you know, come down to the last drive. I really would. I think they're both going to go at it. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, the other one that I'm really anxious to watch is, you know, Ohio State, two new coordinators, new quarterback, and then Texas. I want to see, you know, Arch Manning.
I think the whole country does. And I just filed a story about, you know, it's last time a player with two career starts was the Heisman favorite. Has that ever happened in our lifetime? I'm trying to think. I don't think ever.
Yeah.
But the appetite is high. You know, you go by, went back and looked. Archie finished in the top five twice. Peyton finished in the top 10 three times. And Eli had a top three finish. So Mannings are used to being in the Heisman hunt. There's no question. I think having four offensive new in a 100,000 seat stadium with the defending national champs, that's not going to be easy. So both teams lost a ton to the NFL. It adds to the excitement. Ohio State just named Julian Sain as their starter. I kind of thought that was coming. So it's going to be a really fun show.
Bill Bender, Sporting News, talk college football with us. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. You mentioned, you know, the next tier, Bill, in the Big Ten. Nationally, though, who could be this year's Indiana or SMU teams that got into that playoff mix? I mean, it, you know, kind of worked out the way a lot of people thought they would once they got there, but they got there nonetheless. Who are some of these little keep an eye on this team because you never know what they're going to be looking like in late November.
That reminds me of that line from Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka when he said, what difference does it make? He got it. He got it, you know, and they did. They got there. You know, I think in the Big Ten, you got to look at Illinois. And I don't think they're this year's Indiana because they're ranked in the top 15, but they're pretty loaded for what Brett Bielema has coming back. Intrigued by Georgia Tech in the ACC with Haynes King coming back, Jamal Haynes. Brent Fees kind of established a winning culture there. Now we'll see if they can do it every week. And then now the Big 12 is so wide open. That's why that Iowa State-Kansas State game is so interesting to me because it's kind of like, you know, Brett Yormark made it a point at Big 12 Media Day to tell everybody, hey, we've had the most fourth quarter lead changes, most go-ahead scores in the final minute. So picking a winner, I mean, all three of us could have a guess and be right, right? Even we'll give Nolan a fourth guess, we'll be all right.
Hey, Bill, what kind of faith and trust do you have in Drew Aller and, you know, with Franklin?
He's played a lot of football. He's been under the microscope. Yes, he's going to have to play a little bit better when they play Ohio State and Oregon. I thought he played well against Oregon last year. But it's a big year for the Nittany Lions. They have so much coming back, both running backs, talented defense, Aller, all the pieces are there. So to me, you know, Drew Aller, his ceiling is, you know, high first round NFL pick. His floor is probably day three pick. You know, it could go either way, and this season will tell us that. But I think it really centers around that Ohio State game. They haven't beat Ohio State since 2016. If they can go out and do that, you know, I think it can go in the right direction from there.
Last thing for you, Bill, staying in the Big Ten. What about Minnie Mahomes and Raiola and Matt Rhule at Nebraska this year, the Cornhuskers? We just, every time we think they're about to get back to where they were, air quotes, doesn't really happen, or is this really an era in which, you know, that sort of a level of Nebraska dominance could be part of our football futures here?
Yeah, you know, I think it's fitting they're playing in the Chiefs' home stadium against Cincinnati on that Thursday night. He's talented. He had ups and downs last year, but Nebraska did make progress, right? They made a bowl game. They went 7-6, and I think they've got a pretty good football team with Matt Rhule. So, you know, have they, you know, I'm saying this, though, and I think we've talked about it on here before. I have a 14-year-old son. He has no concept of Nebraska being a dominant college football power. It's wild to me to explain that to somebody when you grew up with it every year. I always explained it to him in the 90s. They didn't throw and they didn't have to. So it's completely changed. Big year for them.
Bill Bender, what's happening at Sporting News as we're right about to get into kickoff here for college football 2025?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right, Bill, appreciate it as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There's Bill Bender, everyone. So, you know, we'll see what goes on in the landscape here. But a good game to start the season coming up Saturday.
Yeah, and then the following week, Bob, is
crazy
when it's
time.
On. Yeah, that'll be – that's Saturday. That's like you park at the couch at noon, Bob, and
well,
watch
that's
all the way through.
That's a three TV day.
Yeah.
And we talked about Texas last week, first time ever. They start the preseason ranked number one, and with that, they become the first preseason number one team to ever be underdogs in their first game at Ohio State. We'll come back, count some dough, buy or sell, reset the program for you. Jason Cole talks about NFL with him at 1 o'clock.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Sperato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Jason Cole's going to have some NFL lunch with us at 1 o'clock. American League East Report, 1:15. Then we'll talk Orioles Red Sox with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Tons going on, world of sports. As we're getting closer to football season, pennant races heating up in baseball. Right now, let's count some dough, though. Fire stuff.
Yeah, the market's pretty flat today. The Dow is down a penny. The S&P's down $2.93. NASDAQ's down $18. DraftKings up 79 cents. Under Armour's up a dime, 512.
Back over $5.
Yep.
Bring it on.
Start our sports topics today with the Orioles. The wait for Dylan Beavers and Sam Basayo, it's finally over. And both of them wasted little time making an impact in their Major League debuts. Beavers, of course, picking up that double for his first Major League hit on Saturday. Basayo driving in a pair with a single yesterday, though he was robbed of a home run a little bit earlier. Good hard contact from both of them. Of course, Basayo, as we just mentioned, just inches away from his first long ball. Struggles probably coming in some time for both, but they certainly look the part for now. Buy or sell, Bob, both Beavers and Basayo will have their first career homers by the end of the week.
Let's see. Fenway, left-handed sticks. They both have pop to get it because right field's kind of a shot at Fenway unless you go down the pesky pole. End of the week, then they come back for Houston. Yes, I'm buying it, Nolan McGraw. Matter of fact, I'm going to take it a step further. They will both have multiple home runs.
Whoa. This week. That means two.
Thank you for clarifying. I'm not going to go 17, right. You know what I mean? But they will both go yard this week.
Over to the NFL, Ravens got a good look at Joe Milton on Saturday night. A pretty hyped project of a quarterback, but he certainly looked like a project on Saturday. As Dallas continued to search for a clear-cut backup option behind Dak Prescott, history shows his injury, you know, track record. They're going to need somebody, at least somewhat reliable back there, because he's missed quite a few games in the last 4 years. And when you look at Milton, really all the hype comes from his incredible arm strength. I mean, he could throw, what, I think he was at some golf event a couple weeks ago, said he could throw a golf ball 200 yards or something like that. But other than that, his game is very rough around the edges, we'll say. Vinny, are you buying or selling that Milton actually has the tools to be a quality backup in this league?
Soft sell. I mean, against the Ravens in the first half, he was 2 of 8. You know, then, you know, he was much better in the second half with all the backups.
Yeah, he made that one throw down. Yeah. That was pretty thin, pretty
right.
Nice.
You know, so I think he's a project.
Back to baseball here. The Padres, we know they pushed pretty hard for Ramon Laureano at the trade deadline, and so far it's paying off for him. 15 games with San Diego, batting .339, a .403 on-base percentage, and a .679 slugging percentage. While that is a shorter sample size, across the board, those are all better than his first staff stats with the Orioles. Just last year, after he was DFA'd by Cleveland, heads over to Atlanta, gets picked up by them, and has a great middle-of-the-season turnaround, much better stats across the board then as well. Buy or sell, Bob, at the end of this season, Laureano will have a higher average on base and slugging than the Padres than he did with the O's.
I'll buy it. I was thought you were going to say he's going to go to another team and win the MVP next year, the way he keeps rising up to the equation. Of the guys that were traded, he was one I didn't want to see leave. Yeah. I understand why they got rid of him, because of the controllable year. He could play all three outfield, et cetera, right-handed bat. Yeah, he hit a home run yesterday. Rohan drove in a run as they made it a comeback. The Padres did against the Dodgers, getting swept. But, yeah, let's ride that wave. I mean, he's been plug and play for them since they got him. And, boy, he's making them look good right now.
Well, we talked about concerns for the Vikings wide receiver core last week. But elsewhere in the NFC North, the Packers, well, they don't really know what they have either. Christian Watson, he's on the PUP list, still recovering from his ACL tear. Jaden Reed, he ended up leading the team in receiving yards last year, but he's currently battling a foot sprain and some calf issues for Dontavian Wicks as well. Romeo Doubs, the injury list doesn't end there. Hurt his back last week. Don't think he's practiced since. Now, people can talk about Jordan Love and his recovery from a thumb surgery all they want, but who's he throwing the ball to? That's the bigger question. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Packers should not be considered true Super Bowl contenders given their wide receiver situation.
I'll buy it, which makes the quarterback inconsistent, and he gets hurt a lot too. So I'll buy it. If they can get everybody healthy and have everybody, because, I mean, Watson, I picked him. The year they came out, I picked him as a rookie of the year, and then he got hurt right away. You know, so he's shown flashes. They just haven't had anybody that's done it.
Wasn't Doubs complaining last year because he wasn't getting the target share that he had hoped, like a lot of practice and all of that good stuff?
Right, because they haven't really found a true number one. It was a big talking point last year, and they didn't really go out and add anybody flashy. It's still, I guess, about the collective, but when you don't have that collective, now you're out of luck. Well, before we break here, more giveaways. They never end on Vinny.
Sounds exciting.
We're always looking out for you. Well, just because you're not enthused, Bob. But
I wasn't. You said it sounds exciting.
All right, a little more energy would be nice.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Sounds awesome. What do we got?
Well, you're not the one that has to do the giveaway. It's okay. It's all right.
How about a little more excitement over there?
All right. Anyway. Maryland State Fair. It's actually going to start this week. Over the next 3 weeks, it'll be at the Timonium Fairgrounds, of course. And we want to help you out. We want to send you to the Maryland State Fair. I got 4 tickets. That's right. 4 tickets every single day this week to the State Fair. Giving our first pair of 4 away right now for caller number 6. at 410-583-1057. Again, this is a full week giveaway. If you don't win today, make sure you keep listening.
State Fair's here already. Holy mackerel. Yes, summer's winding down. Football's coming. I'm getting stung by bees. What the hell's going on around here? We'll come back. Look more at this Ravens roster. Jason Cole's going to have NFL lunch with us at 1 o'clock. Longtime NFL writer. American League East report at 1:15. And then Rich Dubroff talk about the Birds of Baltimore up at Fenway trying to play spoilers here in the final few weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Might not be able to play all five offensive line spots, but he's got the interior of the line pretty much down pat. So is he the de facto sixth offensive lineman?
You got your
five starters, and then I guess he's the next dude there?
I would say so. You know, as the guard center, yes. Noteboom would be the tackle. But, you know, like Ali said, he's like the Pied Piper out there, because if you're watching him, you know, if you just look down at him, he's the one making the calls. He's the one with all the hand gestures and that kind of stuff. So he's controlling that. I really started like kind of really watching him the last 2 weeks, I've really been impressed with his athleticism and stuff. And they must be too, because he played 30 some snaps, but he plays basically with the first group out there, and I don't think they have a problem with him being out there at all.
Now, with the offensive line, and we had, Trippy, I believe it was, called earlier and talked about Ben Cleveland. And Vinny, you've made it clear on the show that, you know, not exactly his number one fan.
No.
Ben Cleveland, but the Ravens did re-sign him, brought him back. But he just doesn't seem to make you notice him when he's on the field, you know what I mean? And if it is, it's for something that's not necessarily Pro Bowl worthy.
Yeah, he is a big man, is what he is. So he's hard to get around. They love to use him as like a tight end on goal line, short yardage type stuff. And most time he's just lining up and drive blocking a guy, you know, getting a body on a body. And I think that's a good situation for him. Last year, they gave him some work at center, so he was kind of that guy back up there. So I think that Corey Bullock has passed him up. At guard and at center. So I would say, Bob, yeah, if it's a guard or center that needs to come in, Bullock will be the first guy, and if it's tackle, it'll be Noteboom.
Who are some of the other offensive linemen that have made a positive impression? For instance, did Faalele redeem himself after maybe some shaky moments against the Colts there?
Yeah, I thought Daniel played well. I thought he played good. They ran a lot of zone stuff and a lot of zone stretch stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's tougher for him, you know, because you got to reach. You got to reach the outside guy's shoulder, but he's also reaching. If you're reaching, he's reaching, because he wants to keep his outside arm and outside leg free. You know, so the athleticism, he's got some. And he did a much better job in pass protection. Picked up stunts extremely well. I thought he did a real nice job. He and Bullock kind of switching off, picking up the guys that were twisting and things. I thought he did a nice job. And I thought Rosengarten played much better. I thought both of them played much better than they had played the week before. And I thought that Voorhees was fine. Also, they all played, those three guys played 19 snaps. So they played right to the end of the first quarter, I think, or right through the first quarter, one of the two.
Now, as we look at the O-line, the way it's put together now, barring injury, you don't see any additions to the roster based on what they have personnel-wise right now.
No, I don't see it. Not with you know, them being 3 weeks out from playing against Buffalo. You know, the only way I would think they maybe would bring somebody in, Bob, is if somebody got hurt. And the only way a Stanley, Voorhees, Linderbaum, Rosengarten, or Faalele get hurt now, if it's in practice, because I don't see them playing, you know, against Washington on Saturday. So I think that's going to be a pretty good group, and I think it'll be led by Ronnie Stanley. I think Ronnie looks really good this year.
Let's move to defense, in particular the depth next to Roquan Smith at the inside linebacker position. Trenton Simpson was playing on Saturday. Is he doing more to impress you? Teddy Buchanan. I mean, he had one of them quarterback hits we were talking about against Dallas. What's going on there? Is that still kind of, if you're looking for a major problem, which the Ravens really don't have, let's be honest, but if there's a problem, is it lack of depth at that particular position right now?
Yeah, I would say yes. You know, just because I'm not totally sold on Simpson, I think Simpson is always kind of a step late reading and reacting. And he's always like up on his toes, kind of like hopping, trying look like he's trying to see, is what it looks like to me. And he just, he's a step behind. Now, Buchanan, I like him in space. Think he runs well. Think he's got good instincts. Like on that bootleg pass the other, he did a real nice job getting to his area and stuff to cover. But when he's inside the tackles and the run stuff, he gets caught up in there because he can't get off blocks either. He needs to be able to run free. If he can run free, he can run, and then he can tackle. That's my concern there with their depth. But if they're going to be playing, you know, just a second linebacker on first down, got no problem, you know, with what they've got. I think they'll be good enough there. The biggest problem is going to, Bob, if Roquan were to get hurt, serious trouble.
Now, if you missed the news after the Dallas game on Saturday, Adisa Isaac dislocated elbow. He's going to be out, as John Harbaugh said, for at least a few weeks. How does that impact the depth chart at outside linebacker?
Yeah, well, you know, we were debating on whether they keep six, which the six would have been either Adisa Isaac or Ajabo. And me personally, watching them in practice and watching the games thus far, and special teams, because Ajabo really doesn't do special teams, whereas Adisa Isaac is, you know, on the number one units on them. I thought Isaac had that job, and Ajabo was kind of on the out. He was on the bubble. And now with Isaac being out probably for 4 to 6 weeks, then Ajabo, I think they keep five. And, you know, with Tavius Robinson, with Vannoy, Green, Oway, and then Ajabo being fifth, and probably because he doesn't do a lot of teams, I don't know if he'll be dressing, Bob.
Let's get out to the phones real quick. Jason Cole's going to have some NFL lunch with us coming up in a matter of minutes. Let's go to Reisterstown. It's Kai. Kai, what's up?
Hey, right now, man. Hello.
Kai.
What's up, Kai?
Hey, what's up, Benny? What's up, Bob Haney? How you doing?
What's up, Kai?
A lot of boxing talk, Bob, but I can't do it right now, but listen, Vinny, I just want to talk about my Ravens real quick.
Uh-huh.
Number 71, we drafted him.
Vincent,
listen, I think he's a project.
Yep.
And he needs more work. He's physical, but listen, number 53 bull rushed him,
yep.
Put him on his ass. I couldn't believe it. Big as he is, he got put on his butt, but he bounced back the game. He started moving in the run game. He was firing off the ball. He started playing real good, but he a little raw. So I like 71, but he got put on his butt by that number 53. I couldn't believe. Number 40, Vinny.
Buchanan.
Buchanan.
Not Buck. Not Buck Buchanan. Yeah. Buchanan.
That would be something if they got him.
His read and react was amazing.
Yep.
I was just watching him. He was all on it, downhill. He didn't hesitate. I like him. I like him. I like him. I like him. Now, listen. Hey, Bob Haney, Tez Walker.
Yeah.
I think he's ready. I think it's time to take him out the pot, Vinny. He's ready. You know why I think he's ready? Because his route running ability. He could, man, he's turning his hips, getting upfield. Mm-hmm. And I know that's against the second and third team, but I would love to see him, you know, not over DeAndre Hopkins, of course, but, you know, that's that fourth receiver there, Tez.
Yeah.
I think he'd take the next step. But overall, man, I like the Ravens and I like what they're doing, but, The guy that stuck out to me the most was number 40, man. He was all over the field. And what do you think he fit as over Simpson? You think we could slide him in over Simpson? Because Simpson, to me, Simpson still can't get off of blocks.
No.
He can't get off of blocks. I can't believe it. I mean, he played with Roquan last year. I mean, Simpson without Roquan is like, I was about to say something crazy, like peanut butter. I say like peanut butter without jelly. But, yeah, man. Tell me about 40 sliding in that Simpson spot. What do you think of that, Vinny?
Kai, I like him in space. I like him in space, and I like his read and react. Just when he's in there between the tackles, he has a hard time getting off of blocks.
When we come back, more NFL talk, NFL lunchtime with longtime NFL writer Jason Cole. Get his thoughts on the upcoming season. American League East report at 1:15. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Preview the Red Sox and the Orioles. Dylan Beavers is here. Samuel Basayo is here. Kyle Bradish is coming back. Tyler Wells is coming back. All is right with the Orioles world. Well, they're 10 games under 500, 10 out of wild card, but you get the point.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.